Lord's had a nice little theme going here today. I say today because this morning we were given the privilege of preaching out of John chapter number 21 and verse number 2, and it was the sermon was titled "God Uses Flawed Humans." The list of humans listed there in John 21 verse 2 is Simon Peter and Thomas and Nathaniel and the two sons of Zebedee and two other of the disciples. So we had three sermons more or less in a row that dealt with Thomas. Praise the Lord for that. Now we're going to go ahead and break the streak. And I'd like for you to turn back with me to the book of Genesis, chapter number 5. So in Genesis chapter number 5, when you found your place, if you please stand. Sorry, Brother Bill, I was a little slow. I apologize. We're here in the graveyard of the Bible. In Genesis chapter number 5. Well, we're going to skip to that where the flowers are. Verse number 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Lord, being our helper tonight, we'd like to bring a sermon on this thought, "He was not." Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We pray, Father, for your blessings upon this day, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the sermons that you had Brother Randall and Brother Bill bring to us. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Father, to follow after your holy will. We thank you, Father, that you've given us hope, Lord, that you prove yourself time and time again. All we've got to do is look to you. You've got everything that we need right there. We just need to have faith in you. We pray, Father, that you'd help us, Lord, to do that. We pray, Father, for Pastor and his families. They're making their way back up here from Florida. We pray, Father, for all those prayer requests that have been made known, Lord. You know what each and every one of them is. And we ask you, Father, to take care of it, Lord. From the testing to the housing to the travels, the finances, work, all of it, Lord. You know what each and everything is that needs. And we pray, Father, that you'd supply it, Lord. You've already promised that you'd supply all our need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we're claiming those promises, Father. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And I pray, Father, that you'd help me, Lord, to present the sermon the way that you'd have me to, Lord. Hide me behind the cross, Lord. Give me a double portion of your sweet Holy Spirit, Lord, so as I can present your word to your people here tonight, Lord. That they'd see Jesus Christ and not me, Father. If they see me, it's a waste of time. But if they see you, Lord, it's exactly what we need. We love you, Father, and we thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. He was not. And we've got Brother Enoch here, and he's the seventh from Adam. He's of that godly line that came from Seth, and he lived in a rotten world. As a matter of fact, Brother Randall, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." Yeah. Boy, that's terrible, Brother Bill. The only thing that the Bible ever declares about man that is great is our wickedness. Our sinful hearts are dark. They're terrible. And Enoch walked in such a time. The time like what we have here right now, the difference is God kind of cleaned it up back then. And we're just waiting for Him to do it again. But Enoch was not. Enoch was living here in this time, but he was a was not. And praise God, we need some more was nots in our lives. We need some more was nots filling these pews here for the churches. We need some more was nots who are standing behind the pulpit of God, who are willing to preach what thus saith the Lord and not what feels good. We need some more was nots who are not looking to be politically correct, because when you're politically correct, you are morally wrong. We need some was nots who are willing to do what God would have them to do. It may cause us to have to sacrifice some. It may cause us to have to be humbled a little bit. It may cause us some hurt. It may cause us some pain. It may cause us some strife. But as Brother Randall was saying there, we've got a place prepared for us that is rock solid. And the blessings for all that we're going to go through in this life are to be found there. Well, we need some was nots. May I say, first of all, Enoch, he was not distracted. Verse number 21 says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah." Methuselah's name means man of the dart, arrow, or missile. Those are direct weapons. They go right at the source. And not a boomerang which curves around this way and it eventually comes back. No, these go straight at their target. They don't curve. There's no beating around the bush, as it were. May I say that it is possible that in this particular time, we talked about how dark it was, that he was persecuted just for his belief in God. We've got these atheists running around here. Oh, it hurts my feelings. It's causing me great mental anguish because I look on a dollar bill and it says, "In God we trust." Funny part is they ain't got no problem spending that money.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, but he most likely is being persecuted here. And so he names his son the man of the dark. He understands that he's living in hard times where they're trying to stick him. But the thing about it is, he's trying to do what the Lord would have him to do. He was not distracted. And he says, this is what needs to be, straight as an arrow, going in the right direction. The truth does not bend. The truth is straight.
Amen.
He knew he was in a fight to serve his God. And he was going to be direct about it. Brother Brett was in a conversation with a friend of his this past week. And Brother Brett's being direct. He is doing what the Lord would have him to do. He's standing on what the Bible has to say. He ain't compromising for the world. He ain't compromising for a feel-good message, Brother Randall. He ain't compromising for what people think they should be told. Fella came out and says, "I'm black and I'm gay." And Brett says he forgot one part. You're living in sin.
Amen.
Enoch was a man who came out and said, "Look, you're living in sin." Praise God, he was going to be direct because he was not going to be distracted. May I also say that he taught his son, who passed it down to his son, that judgment time was going to come for all these sins that are in this world. And judgment is going to be coming here, folks, one day even for us. Now, it didn't come in Enoch's time. As a matter of fact, when you study it out there, you find that Methuselah died in the year of the flood. I don't know if he just failed to get on the ark or if he passed before the ark was completed. Whatever the case was, he died then. But Enoch's great-grandson, Noah, because Enoch was direct about preaching, he was not distracted. Noah got the message, and we're told there in Genesis 6:8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We find that Noah was the one that God used to build the ark, and 8 people got on board, and the world perished all around them.
Yeah.
Judgment came.
Yeah.
May I also say that according to the book of Jude, chapter verses 14 and 15, the Bible says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him." In other words, not only did judgment time come there with the flood, but Jesus Christ, He's coming back one day, not only for the rapture that's going to come, but 7 years later, after the end of the tribulation, Jesus is going to come, and He's going to put them all down. Judgment time is going to come. And Enoch was not distracted, and he preached it. And we need, Brother Bill, to be preaching that the judgment is coming.
Amen.
May I say, not only was he not distracted, but he was not distant. Verse number 22 of our text says that Enoch walked with God. That word "with" means nearness. That means they were right there, side by side. The word "walk" means to walk along, continually, be conversant, to go forward, grow, consistent, forward progress. Hey, man, that's a great description there. Amos 3:3 asks the question there, can two walk together except they be agreed? If you're going to walk together, there are 5 things that you must have in common in order to say that you are walking together. You must have, number 1, common speed. If I'm going at 5 miles an hour and Brother Randall's going to walk with me, but he's only doing 2 miles an hour, there's a difference of 3. We've got a problem here. We're not going to be walking together. I'm going to outrun him.
Yeah.
May I also say that we need to have a common direction. If we're not going in the same way, we're not going to be walking together. If I'm going this way and he's going that way, how can we walk together? We're getting further apart. Third, we must have a common goal. If we were to walk to the back there and then turn around and walk back here, our goal is to finish right here. If we both walk back there and I come here, but he decides to go to the restroom, we do not have a common goal. We're no longer walking together. But may I say, fourthly, you've got to have common ground. We can't walk together if I'm up here on the platform and he's walking on ground that's 10 feet below me. There's a height difference there. How in the world is he supposed to look up and see me? How am I supposed to look down and see him if we're not walking on common ground? In church, we need to walk upon common ground with the Lord. Amen. We need to have a common goal with him. Brother Randall's told us what the common goal is. We need to have common direction. We need to have common speed because we want to fifthly finish together. It is absolutely wonderful when everybody gets to cross that finish line. But if they get to do it at the same time, I like what the Bible tells us there in 1 Thessalonians. It talks about how the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet them in the air. We're going to come together and we're going to cross that finish line at the same time. There ain't going to be no last place. There ain't going to be no fifth place. We're all coming in second. Because Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. But everybody else who knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and a free pardon of their sins has a common finish that they're going to have. We need to be walking together with the Lord so that we are not distant. Just as Brother Enoch was not distant. But not only was he not distant, not only was he not distracted, he was not deficient. Verse number 23 says, "And all the days of Enoch were 365 years." Or as we would put it, 365 years. Last time I checked my calendar, there are 365 days in the year. In other words, he lived a year for every day in the year. May I say, church, what we need to do, because this is what Brother Enoch's telling us, is not to be deficient. We need to be walking with God every single day of our Christian lives. Not just while I feel like it today, and tomorrow I won't feel like it. This is where I'm at right now, but this moment I may not be. No, we need to be consistently walking with the Lord, not deficient, with Him every single minute of every single day. Why, preacher? Because every time we get away from doing it, we get into trouble. It's bad enough we're walking for the Lord, we're walking with Him, and Satan's sitting there trying to trip us. Yeah. He's trying to cause depression. He's trying to get us angry at one another. Did you just see the way he looked at me?
I saw him.
And I tell you, just because I preached him second. You know, but that's what Satan tried to do. Try to cause friction. Try to disrupt us. He's trying to get us to get away. It's bad enough when we're serving the Lord and He's doing that. Now if we come over here and we just sit down and say, "Okay, Satan, I'll let you have today." Look at that. I got into trouble just sitting down and knocked the cordless mic right off the little holder right here. Why? Because I sat down. Wasn't where I was supposed to be up here behind the pulpit. How much worse does it get then? So, well, Satan ain't bothering me then. Yeah, but ain't the Holy Spirit saying, "Dummy, don't you think something's wrong here? Don't you think you've got a problem here? You're being deficient. You're falling behind in your studies. You're falling behind in your singing. You're falling behind in your praising. You're falling behind in your preaching. You're falling behind in your walk with the Lord. You're being deficient." We need to not be deficient. We need to be following the Lord. It's a hard enough road as is. But when we're walking near Him, it's so much sweeter. Amen. Well, may I say, not only was he not deficient, not distant, not distracted, he was not detoured. Verse number 24. "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." That word "took" means to take, to accept, to carry away. Amen. His translation shows us that ultimately reconciliation with God will occur. Include victory over death. Turn with me over there to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Parallel passage to 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse number 51 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I read that that twinkling has been counted to be 182 twinkles in a single blink. That's pretty quick. In a moment of a twinkling in the eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must, that word must means absolute necessity, put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory, the conquest, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain, it's not empty. Praise God. Enoch was not detoured. He recognized that he's going someplace. He didn't die, so he didn't have to go by way of the grave. He got to go straight on home. Amen. Brother Bill, I like to think of Enoch as he's walking there one day. And he's talking with the Lord, and all of a sudden he looks up and sees the sun's about to set. And no, I ain't got Bible for this. This is me. And I like to think that he just looked at the Lord and says, about time I get home. And the Lord just said, yeah, you know what, Enoch, we're closer to my house now than we are yours. Why don't you come out with me? Amen. Praise God. Just went ahead and went right on home there. Only two have ever gotten out of life alive, Enoch and Elijah. I hope to be another one of those. But if not, I got hope. Amen. Praise God. I know I'm going to heaven. How about you? He was not deterred. He was not deficient. He was not distant. He was not distracted. But may I say, he was not disregarded. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 5 says this. By faith. By the way, that's how it's got to be done, is by faith. Amen. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found. He obviously was missed by somebody, or they wouldn't have gone looking for him. And if they hadn't gone looking for him, they wouldn't have said, we can't find him. Remember when Elijah was taken up there in that fiery chariot. And the sons of the prophets came to Elisha and said, let us go search the mountains for him. And Elisha said, don't bother. They said, let us go. And Elisha said, okay, you're wasting your time, but go. 3 days later, these strong, strapping young men came back, worn out, exhausted, tired, hungry, and said, we couldn't find him! And Elisha said, didn't I tell you not to bother? Well, there was no Elisha for him back then, for Enoch. They went looking for him. They said, hey, where's that nut job that preaches about God and judgment? Where is he? Where's that preacher who stands behind a pulpit and preaches against sin, who says homosexuality is sin? Where's that preacher who stands behind the pulpit and says going out and having an abortion just because you wanted the fun, you didn't want the responsibility, is sin? Where is he? Where's all those people who are crazy and they keep showing up every Sunday morning and all of a sudden the church is empty? Where are those nut jobs? Won't be disregarded then. Oh, they might turn a deaf ear to us now when we're telling them, Jesus loves you. He died on the cross to save your soul from eternity in hell. Would you like to be saved? Oh, they might blow us off now. Went to the nursing home this morning. As we say, I'm preaching there out of John 21. And kitchen staff was quite loud this morning. Oh, they had a couple times when they quieted down, but then they get back to banging the silverware around. They got back to banging the pots and pans around. I said amen a couple of times, and one time, I don't know if it came from out in the hallway or in the kitchen, one of the two, someone shouted back, amen. Go ahead and make fun. One day, I'll be gone. And if they're still here, they're going to wonder, where'd he go? We need to be a was not disregarded. church are we was not disregarded? Or are we being nice and quiet so as that we're not even regarded? We need some help tonight. We need to get closer to the Lord. Enoch shows us that it's possible. It may be difficult, but it's possible. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. We pray, Father, for Your blessings upon the services here tonight. Pray, Father, if there's anyone here that they need to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and the free pardon of their sins, that they'd come forward and say, "Hey, I need to be saved." Even if they don't understand, say, "Preacher, show me how. Someone, please show me how I can be saved." We pray, Lord, if there's someone here and they've gotten distracted, that they've fallen away, that they're running a deficit in their lives, we pray, Lord, that they'd be willing to come right now and say, "Father, I need some help. Father, I need to get back with You. Father, I need to draw near to You again. Father, help me." We pray, Lord, that they'd respond to the call. Holy Spirit has lined up these sermons here tonight for a reason. And we pray, Lord, for Your blessings upon them. We pray, Lord, that people will be getting the help that they need, that they'll be crying out to the Master. "Father, I need help. I'm probably the biggest one here."